Gay Waves formed after 78 as well, didn't it?
Yes, yes. The people who formed Gay Waves were Greg Redding, Susan Hawkswood, and that gorgeous straight man whose name I've forgotten. They were the three people who actually formed Gay Waves. I was in it very early, but I did not have anything to do with the formation of it.
Susan Ardell would have been.
Susan Ardell was involved in it. David Abello.
Yeah.
David Abello was involved in it. Paul Young, Graham Head, a lot of people. Mm. Nora Newmark, Uma.
Just describe for people who don't know what Gay Waves was.
Gay Waves, well, it was formerly known as the Gay Radio Collective. It was a collective, operated as a collective. We met every Tuesday night to deal with business matters and also to plan the program. And for the following Thursday, it went to air every Thursday night from 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. Mm. And it was broadcast from 2SER FM. It was a mixed collective, men and women. Greg Redding, the amazing Greg Redding, was there right until the very last program, which was only, I think, last year or a few years ago. It was, yeah, stalwart. And, yeah, so that's what the program was, and it was a mixture of music. We played, you know, records, kind of our own requests, or we did do requests, you know. People, I mean, we didn't have a library, we couldn't just pluck something, but, you know, people would say, oh, why don't you play more something or other? Well, we'd try and accommodate that. We also had interviews, people could phone in and chat, and also we produced at least one radio play called The Gays of Our Lives, which was fantastic. Yes, The Gays of Our Lives.
Was that internally sourced or externally sourced?
No, it was written by people in the collective. Oh, Prue Borthwick was person in the collective. Yeah. And she had something to do with the writing. David would be able to tell you more about that aspect of it. And I was an on-air person. David was. Oh, everybody was at some time. Though I don't think there was anybody in the collective who wasn't on air at some time. Yeah. At some time or another. We always thought, I mean, it was hard to know what the size of our listenership was. It was really difficult to know. But we presumed that there were quite a number of people who used to kind of, so to speak, you know, have the transistor under the blankets sort of thing, you know. It was a very, very useful program, I think, for people who were very, you know, in very closeted situations at home. We certainly had listeners in the prison system because we used to get letters from them. You know, various people in various kinds of institutional situations, maybe. Yeah.
And there was as far as other gay radio shows went, was it one of the first?
I don't think there were any others at the time, not that I can recall. No, I don't know of any others. Well, maybe interstate. No, I don't. I think it might have been the first. You know, in this country, Australia. Yeah. I'm sure they'd been going for years in America, hadn't they? Of course. But yeah. So that was basically it, really.
Mm. Was there a political bias? Was it aimed at activism, or was it? Did you cover bars as well? Or?
Yes, I mean, I think we're all unashamedly radical, raving commies or such like. I don't think we didn't proselytise about a particular politics, but certainly about liberation politics. Oh, yes, very much so. Mm. Very much so.